So we're going to turn to our Bibles for the reading today. There's two readings. The first one is from Exodus 31, 1 to 6, which is on page 90 of the church Bibles. Oh, no, it's not. It's on page 89, I think. Right. Sorry, I'm getting mixed up here. It's 31, 1 to 6, which is on page 90. Apologies. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you." The second reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 26. That is on page 1153 of the Church Bibles. "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we've just sung, "Speak, O Lord," and that's what we pray now. We pray that you would speak here with us through your word, your Spirit active among us. Empower us as your people to be the blessing to each other and to this needy world that you call us to be. And be at work, do mighty things in this next 20 minutes or so as we listen together to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So those who've been here for the last few weeks, we are spending a few weeks kind of slowing down and looking at a single statement from Jesus that's both very simple but also incredibly kind of far-reaching. He said it on the shores of the Lake of Galilee, and he said it to the fishermen, these kind of ordinary kind of people. And he said to them, "Come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Right? So he says that intrinsic in following Jesus is also being sent out. So we've been thinking together that we are all in this together. Jesus calls us not just to be spectators in the stands, but to be part of the team on the pitch for him, with him as our king, doing the work of his kingdom. All of us have a part to play. That's a lovely idea, isn't it? Everybody is valuable to this King of Kings. Okay, no matter how insufficient you feel, no matter how inadequate you feel, you have a part. Jesus says, come follow me and I will send you out. One of the challenges, though, is often we do feel like under-equipped. We feel like, really? Me? And what we saw last week is that Jesus in his goodness actually gives us all that we need. He equips us. He gives us a clear word and teaches so that we can get to know Jesus better and better and live for him more and more faithfully in this world. He equips us. But that's not the only way he equips us. He also gives us gifts. And that's going to be the focus of our time together this afternoon. Do you know the wonderful story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Okay, it's one of C.S. Lewis's classics. There's a point in the story where spring is finally breaking into the kind of harsh, endless winter that has beset Narnia for so long. And you know that spring is breaking in because the snow is melting, and who should turn up but Father Christmas? Okay, in the books, he's kind of a messenger from Aslan, the great king himself. And what does he come with? He comes with gifts. And to each of the three children, Edmund, he's off with the White Witch. He'll come back later. But there are three kids, and they get three gifts. Remember, Peter gets a sword and a shield. To Susan, he gives a bow and a horn, which she can blow and then seek help when she needs it. And then to little Lucy, the ointment. In fact, I put a little picture up. Did I put a picture up? No, I didn't put a picture up. Anyway, maybe you've seen the film. You can probably picture it. Lucy, given the kind of healing ointment. It's a lovely little picture because the gifts are all given from the same person, okay, ultimately from Aslan through the messenger in the story of Father Christmas. And they're all given for the same purpose, right? They have to use these gifts in defeating the work of darkness through the White Witch and in restoring the beautiful kingdom of Aslan. And that's what they all do. They have different roles, don't they? So Peter has to be courageous and valiant as he takes his sword and his shield. Again, he has a role in fighting the works of darkness and the works of evil. And that's Peter's role, and his gifts enable him to do that. And then there's Susan, and she has a more behind-the-scenes kind of role with her bow and arrow. That's what a bow and arrow is, isn't it? You're not in the thick of it. You're behind the scenes providing support. And the horn, she has the humility to call for help when it's needed. And then there's little Lucy, who's a healer, because this dark world leaves so much wreckage. And so she, beautifully in the stories, after all the wreckage of that battle, she goes healing those people who've been wounded. And the gifts, do you see, they're all totally different, and yet all of them work to the same end. Okay, driving out the works of the White Witch and restoring the beautiful kingdom of Aslan. And C.S. Lewis quite deliberately gave us a wonderful picture of something that Jesus does for all of his people. Okay, he gives us gifts, all of them different, but all working together from the same person to the same wonderful ends. Okay, the restoring of Jesus' kingdom in this world. So just have a look with me at verse 4 in our passage. If you've lost the page, it's 1153. And Paul explains to us, verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, everyone is, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Okay, so do you see it's for the common good. These are tools for service. Right, the goods, the common good of establishing Jesus' kingdom in this world. Okay, and all of these gifts, that's what they're there for, to serve others, to serve Jesus, to do his work in the world. And Paul labors the point that this really is for everyone. Do you see verse 7? To each one, the Spirit is given. Or verse 11, he kind of sandwiches it with the same idea. Verse 11, he says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit as he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Right, this is a blessing, by the way, of the new covenant. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit was at work. We had that reading from Exodus, old Bezalel. And he's inspired by the Spirit with gifts to be able to do beautiful things. And he creates kind of works of art for the tabernacle. And that's a spiritual gift in the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, it's selective. It's only a few people. In the New Testament, when the Spirit comes to everyone, no one is left out. Everybody is given a gift from Jesus for the work of his kingdom. Okay, if you personally trust in Jesus as Lord, he sends the Spirit into your life with a bundle of gifts, custom designed for you, so that you can be part of a team, so that we can be in this together. Another of my favorite kids' books. Now, you can tell that I've got young kids at the moment. I wish I had time to read adult books, but maybe one of these days. Anyway, one of my other favorite kids' books is the BFG. If you come across on The Big Friendly Giant by Roald Dahl, I've read the whole Roald Dahl corpus with our five-year-old Barney over these last 6 months. And the BFG is my second favorite, I think, after Danny Champion of the World. I can tell you more about my other favorites afterwards if you like. But do you know the BFG? Right, it's a world of like angry, dangerous giants, but there's one good giant. And he's the big friendly giant. And he spends his time going around catching dreams in his dream catcher as a net. Right? And then he stores them up. He's got a cave full of dreams. And then he takes one, he puts them in his little trumpet, and he blows it into the rooms of the boys and girls and have these wonderful dreams while they sleep. And this is, Roald Dahl has a lovely way of describing things. And this is how he describes that dream cave. He says it was a cave. And the cave was enormous, 100 times bigger than any cave you could imagine. It was full of shelves, thousands and thousands of shelves. And on the shelves were jars. There were dreams, and every one of them, they were labeled carefully by the BFG's scratchy handwriting. There were jars full of golden dreams, pink dreams, blue dreams, and sparkly dreams. Some dreams were lively and flickering. Some were calm and slow. And some were so bright, they lit up the whole cave. You know, I think that's a lovely picture of Jesus and the gifts that he gives to us. Okay, a storeroom, a vast storeroom full of gifts. And when someone trusts in Jesus, the Spirit comes into their life with a bundle of carefully selected gifts just for you. From him. And you get a flavor of just how extensive and varied these gifts are from this passage that we've read in 1 Corinthians. Just have a look with me from verse 8. Okay, so we're saying, by the way, this is one of several lists of gifts in the New Testament. We'll look at a few others in just a moment. They're designed to be illustrative rather than exhaustive. In other words, there are gifts of the Spirit which are not mentioned in these lists. These are examples of the kinds of gifts that the Spirit gives us. So let's have a look from verse 8. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, as he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Okay, so it's quite a list, isn't it? And let me show you another of the lists. This is Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. And it's the same kind of idea, some different gifts. So we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Right? So a whole load more gifts in Romans 12. And then 1 Peter chapter 4. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received, says Peter, to serve others. Okay, it's the same idea as for the common good, right? It's not meant to be about self-serving. It's meant about giving to others. Okay, serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides. So here, Peter seems to be kind of categorizing the gifts in two broad categories. There are the kind of speaking kind of gifts, and then there are the kind of serving kind of gifts, or the doing gifts. As I've looked at the lists of gifts in the New Testament this week, I think probably there are perhaps three categories we could come up with all together, which I've put up here. Doing, speaking, and knowing. Okay, this is a kind of guess. It may not be the best way of doing it, but I think it kind of works. So here are some of the doing ones mentioned specifically in the Bible. Okay, healing, gifts of miraculous powers, gifts of serving, gifts of giving, gifts of leading, gifts of showing mercy. And then onto the speaking gifts, a message of wisdom, or a message of knowledge, or prophecy. A prophecy, by the way, is when God's messenger speaks God's word to God's people. It can come in all kinds of different forms, but that's the heart of it. Or teaching, or encouragement, or the evangelists who speak God's word to those who don't yet believe and have the gift of being able to do that clearly and effectively so that people do believe. Or the pastor teachers. And then gifts of knowing, the gift of faith, or discernment, or speaking in tongues or interpreting tongues. Now, what we're going to do is we couldn't possibly go through every single one of these without the kids kind of coming back and us still being halfway through the sermon. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to spotlight a couple of them and kind of illustrate maybe what they look like. And then we're going to draw out some more general principles together in a few moments. So they're gifts of healing, right? So some of God's people are given by the Spirit the ability to pray for people effectively for their healing. Now, all of us should be praying for the healing of friends and family, but some are gifted in this and find that people are healed when they pray. Maybe that's a kind of inner emotional kind of healing, or a physical healing. It could be either. But not everyone has this gift, but some people have the gift of healing. Praise God for them, by the way. What a blessing they are to our fellowship and to God's people. Or gifts of leading is another one I've highlighted here. Some of us here are involved in leadership roles in our kind of in our vocations Monday to Friday, and we know what a thankless task it is. Trying to set a vision and bring people with you is hard work, but it's a gift and it's a blessing. And it's a blessing within the church as well, those who lead in different areas of ministry, at the church or even a network of churches. Gifts of leadership for the blessing of God's people. Or onto the speaking gifts, a message of wisdom. Life is such a mess and a muddle. And often in the Bible, you don't get a particular word for a very particular situation. But God gives some people a message of wisdom so they can speak God's truth into a situation that just brings kind of light and clarity. And what a blessing that is. Or gifts of encouragement, it's another speaking gift. Maybe people who are able to empathize deeply. Okay, you've met people like this. And then not only can kind of sense the pain or the difficulty or the struggle in another person, but then can speak in a way that lifts them and brings encouragement and hope. What a gift to be able to do that. It is a gift. And it's a gift that Jesus, through the Spirit, gives to his people. And if that's you, praise God for that gift at work in your life, the gift of encouragement. Well, these gifts of knowing. So in our passage in 1 Corinthians, he talks about a gift of faith. Now listen, all of us have faith. That's what it means to become a Christian, trusting in Jesus. Jesus says, faith as small as a mustard seed will bring you into his kingdom. He's so generous and gracious. But some of us have the gift of a particularly strong faith, such that, you know, there's some situation and everyone else is being like, well, that's impossible. And then this person with the gift of faith comes along and says, maybe it's not impossible. Maybe our God is bigger than the problem. And like David and Goliath, you know, the whole people of Israel are cowering. This is an insurmountable problem for us. And then David has the gift of faith. He can say, God is bigger than the problem. We can trust in him. And people with the gift of faith is very, very inspiring and encouraging for the rest of God's people. They kind of lead the charge and help the rest of us to think, yes, God is bigger. Praise God for those who have the gift of faith or of discernment, because the spiritual realm is not all good. Okay, there's some really bad and dangerous stuff as well. And not everything that looks like a work of God is a work of God's. And therefore, we need people with the gift of discernment. And praise God again for the way that he equips his church with people who have this kind of a gift. Okay, now we just kind of spotlighted a few that are specifically mentioned in the New Testament there. There are loads of other gifts we could point to that aren't even mentioned in the Bible. For example, gifts of music. It's never mentioned as a spiritual gift, but when people lead music in a way that is dependent upon God and brings blessing to God's people, surely that is a spiritual gift as well. Or gifts of hospitality or artistic skill, as we saw in our Old Testament reading. Some of us here can make a space look beautiful. I can't do that, okay? But some of us have that gift, and praise God for you, because it makes such a difference to the rest of us. People who built this space here. And here we all are benefiting from it all these years later. Or some people have a gift of just putting people at ease. Okay, have you ever met people who are able to just, you know, you feel like you can unburden yourself with them because they're all ears. And you know that that's such a blessing when you can do that. Or people with the gift of organization and planning. And maybe you feel like that's a boring gift. Goodness me, it's important though, isn't it? Okay, and some of us have that gift, praise God for it. Or gifts of relating intuitively with children and young people. Or gifts of being able to make money and then not hold on to it all. What a gift that is. Okay, so some of us have that gift. Yeah, I don't have that gift, but some of us have been able to make lots of money and then God has given you the ability to then give it away, to be a blessing to others and be a blessing to his people. What a gift. Do you see, the storeroom of gifts that Jesus lovingly distributes to his people is vast and varied. Now, some of the gifts are what you might think of as more natural kind of talents or abilities. Maybe we were good at them even before we became a Christian. But those natural talents and abilities become a spiritual gift when the Holy Spirit takes them and directs them for the good of the kingdom. Okay, so maybe before you were a Christian, you were like super organized. Or I don't know, you had some other gift, but maybe you directed that in a whole lot of chaotic ways, often quite self-serving. And then you become a Christian and suddenly the Spirit takes those natural abilities and says, now we're going to put them at work for the kingdom. And it becomes a spiritual gift. Okay, other gifts really only develop once we become Christians. You know, some of you may have had that experience. You start following Jesus, and then suddenly you realize that you can speak these words of encouragement, and that's never been a part of your life before, But now you're noticing it happen more and more. And that's a gift that you're given specifically when you start following Jesus. And you know, these gifts that we're talking about, it's not just for grown-ups. Kids get them as well, right? So if you are a parent and you've got children, can I just encourage you to notice the spiritual gifts that Jesus is giving your children? Okay, as they come to him in faith, we can expect that they will have their own gifts as well. As parents, you have a particular privilege to notice them, to nurture them, and to remind your children that these gifts are not for their own good. They're from Jesus, they're for Jesus, and for the good of others. And what a wonderful thing it would be to see our children active in service across our community. Okay, that's something we can be praying for together. Why does he give all these gifts? Because he wants every single follower of Jesus to play a valuable role in the work of his kingdom. Because he wants us to be in this together. Not just me, not just a few select people, but all of us. Okay, because he plans to use you and your gifts in a way that will be totally distinctive to you. Just think about this, right? You've got the gifts that Jesus gives you, the temperament and personality that he's made you, the network of relationships that he's put you in your own circumstances. All of these things kind of add up to a totally unique you, right? Such that the way that Jesus can and plans to use you is totally unique. No one else could do it. Only you, with the particular gifts that he has given you. Now, I think that is a wonderful thought, and maybe something for us to chew on together. Now, what you get when you put all of these gifts together, you get one body with many parts. And that's that lovely picture that Paul then paints. Okay, one body with many parts. So just as we finish, three so what's. First, friends, we should be excited about our spiritual gifts. Okay, remember who they came from. Okay, from Jesus specifically for you. He gave it to you, right? Remember what good they can do when you use them for him. Okay, let's be excited about our gifts. Friends, also, can we please resist the temptation to be envious of the gifts of others? You know the thing where you look and you're like, oh, I wish I had that gift. Or my gift seems a little bit humdrum compared to that gift. And you know the hand says to the eye, well, I'm not an eye, so I'm not much use, am I? It's like envious of the gifts of others. And you know the one way to stifle and to ignore the gifts that Jesus has very generously given you is to just focus on the gifts that other people have. So let's not be envious of the gifts of others. Let's instead be excited by our own spiritual gifts. Second, use your spiritual gifts. Can I just say, just because you have a gift, it doesn't mean it's easy to use it. This is a mistake people often make. They think, oh, well, I can't be gifted at that because I find it terribly hard work. But I tell you, I've been told that I have a gift for preaching. And yet, pretty much every Thursday afternoon, I get what I call the Thursday pit, where I spend like all week looking at a passage. I'm just like, oh my goodness, how am I going to explain this? I don't really understand that bit, and how am I going to get that bit across? And you know, sometimes the Thursday pit ends up being a Friday pit, and on very bad weeks, it's an extremely early Sunday morning pit. You know, you just think, Lord, what am I doing here? But the point is that just because you have a gift doesn't mean it's easy. Okay, when we use the gifts that we have, it is almost always costly and sacrificial as we expend ourselves for the good of others. Think of some of the folk at church who are in teaching in the week. They're teaching kids all week. It's like exhausting. And then they come on a Sunday, and what do? They teach our kids. It's amazing. It's not easy, but they're gifted, and so they get on and do it. Or people who are kind of, you know, behind a spreadsheet in the week doing finance, and then in the evenings, what are they doing? They're helping with our church finances. That's not easy, but they do it because they've got a gift for it. The Apostle Peter says, if anyone serves, they should do it in the strength God supplies. Implication, you're going to need his strength as well as his gifts. Just because you're gifted, it doesn't mean it's easy. And so it's so tempting for us, in spite of having the gifts, just never to use them, because it's hard. So use your spiritual gifts. Okay, that's what Paul says to the Romans. Look, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. Okay, if it's giving an encouragement, then encourage. In other words, it's possible to have gifts and not use them. So friends, let's just get on and use our gifts, because it'd be such a blessing for others if we can do that in the strength that he supplies. And then finally, value the spiritual gifts of others. One of the questions on this that I often get asked is, well, how do I know what my spiritual gifts are? How can I know? I think the answer to that is you just get on and serve, get involved in God's family, the church, and just find opportunities to serve. And you will find over time that people say, oh, man, that's so encouraging, so grateful, or an opportunity will come up and you flourish in it. I never thought I'd be able to do that, but it turns out that's my thing. Okay, and it really helps if, as a church family, we can be noticing the gifts of others and building them up. So in the language of the body, the eye looks at the ear and says, you know, you're great at hearing. And the ear replies, I've noticed you've got a real gift for seeing. And the nose says to the hands, you've got a great gift of touch. And the hand replies, I love the way you smell. It's a lovely analogy, isn't it? But you see what happens when we do that. Those who feel insecure and feel like I don't have anything to offer are encouraged in the gifts that they have. And those who perhaps are a little bit proud and think, well, I don't really need anyone else, begin to notice the gifts of others and grow in humility as well. And together, as that happens, the body grows. Well, we have a generous Savior. He's given us gifts. Right, so be excited about your gifts, use your gifts, value the gifts of others. And as that happens, you know, we are all in this together. We will see God's work in us and among us in really wonderful ways. Well, just a moment to kind of, just to be quiet and reflect. Here's a couple of questions, actually, to help you in that. And then we're going to have, as we do from time to time, just a 10 minutes or so to, for if you'd like to receive some prayer. So I'll kind of tee that up in a few moments' time. But just for a moment, we'll just be quiet and maybe just quietly bring anything that the Lord's spoken to you about to him. And those questions might be a help.